Lord, let that be our proclamation, our declaration. Not just a decision, but let it be a conviction. That when you call our name, we will not pull the covers up over our head and hide. But we will get up and we will rise. I ask you, Father God, to come and bring your word to your people tonight. Not the words of the flesh, but the words of the Spirit. For the flesh only breeds death, but the Spirit brings life. Commit this time to you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think about Lazarus. And Lazarus was in a good place when he died. Getting to that point of death probably wasn't that grand, but being sick is never that fun. But when he was in Abraham's bosom, I think it was pretty good. And then all of a sudden, here comes the voice of God going, "Not yet. Rise up." How tempted he must have maybe felt to go, it's easier here. It's nicer here. But the work that God had Lazarus to do wasn't over yet. And so he had to hear that voice. He had to heed that voice. And he had to rise up. I want to talk to you about a little four-little word that is on my heart and is on the Lord's heart right now for this body. And that little four-letter word is work. Turn in your Bibles to Haggai. The word that the Lord brought to this body a little while ago was, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now be strong. Be strong, all you people of the land, it says in verse 4, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Be strong and work, for I am with you. Not be strong and watch the workers. Not be strong and watch me do the work. Not be strong and wait upon the Lord. It says be strong and work. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it goes through all the different seasons. There's a time for this and a time for that and a time for this and a time for that and a time for this and a time for that. And if you're discerning, like the Bible says, and you can discern the times and the seasons of the Lord, sometimes God makes it pretty obvious, and he just says like this, let me be clear, it's time to be strong and work, and I'm with you. When you look at the great men and women of the Bible, you see two main qualities. Well, I will say I see two main qualities in the great men and women of the Bible. And the great men and women of today's time who are still doing great things for God. They're changing the world. They're changing people around them. They're changing communities. They're changing nations. They're changing one or two people that are then going out and changing 10,000s of people. And the two main qualities that I see is they have a very, very strong work ethic, and they have a heart that God can work with. They have a strong work ethic, and they have a heart that God can work with. If you just have a strong work ethic, but God can't work with your heart, then when your heart gets sideways, he can't get it back on track again. And you may keep working, but like Scripture says, because you're working with wrong motives, you're not going to get anywhere. You can have a heart that God can work with, but if you're not one of those people that likes work, then you'll never get up and do anything. There's a saying we heard recently, heard it several times now, and I'll see if I can remember it. Better to have, you know what it is?
Better to have ignorance on fire than knowledge on ice.
Ignorance on fire than knowledge on ice. And that's true, because sometimes we'll let God work with our heart, and we'll let God do everything, and we have a right heart, and he's like, now work. You're like, but it's hard. I don't know if I want to. I'm not really sure about that. One of the things that I thank my parents for is this. They gave me a good work ethic. They taught me from the time I was a little girl to work. It's something that's very missing in the United States of America today, is a strong work ethic. There's a very entitlement work ethic going on right now in the United States of America. But my family taught me to work, and not just to work, they taught me to enjoy work. They taught us how to make games while we worked. They taught us to work together. In my family, we rarely ever worked alone. If there was a project to be done, then we had a partner in that project. It wasn't just Beth, go do the dishes, and then it's so-and-so. It was like, okay, Sherry and Beth, you're doing the dishes tonight, and Lynn and Beth, you're doing the laundry tomorrow. And I never really got why they were doing it, and sometimes I didn't really like that they were doing it, because it would have been much easier to do it by myself than to have to try to collaborate with my sisters on it. But they were teaching me a principle that when I got into the kingdom made a lot of sense to me. And I don't know if they meant to do it or not, but I'm just going to say it was good, because they taught me something about work. They taught me how to enjoy it. They taught me how to help other people. We were trained that when we saw somebody working, our job was to go in and see what we could do to help. When my dad was going out and filling, we had, what are them things called? We don't have them out here. Praise God. What are those things? Gopher holes. Oh, the gophers in Oregon, they come in and they dig all these holes in your yard, and then you have to go out there and you have to fill them all in and cover them up, and it's just a pain. And so that's a one-person job. But if my dad was ever out there, one of us was out there. And I used to complain to my mom. I'm like, really? There's nothing for me to do. I'm just standing here. She goes, yeah, just be with him. Just be with him. What was she teaching us? What were they teaching us? A good work ethic. Not to be afraid of work. To help other people with their work. To get my hands dirty, whether it was my responsibility or not, to do that work. They were trying to teach me a good work ethic. And I see that with world changers. World changers have good work ethics, and they have a heart that they let God work with. Look at Moses. These are not perfect people. These are hardworking people that allowed God to work with their heart in the midst of their hard work. Moses, an incredibly hard worker. Elijah, Daniel, Paul, Mother Teresa, Miss Wigglesworth, R.W. Schambach. We just went down. R.W. Schambach can barely walk, and he's still working for the Lord. Well, he's dead now, but you get my point. When we went down and saw him, he was as good as dead. But you look at these people, and they were not annoyed by having to work. Jonah had a different heart. He was annoyed by working. He didn't really want to work. He tried to get away from working. He didn't want to work because he would rather watch other people work than work himself. But they were never whiny. They were never weary. One of the things, if you look in the Bible, if we're not willing to work, Scripture says we won't eat. It says that we invite poverty and loss into our life. We invite a thief to come into our life and into our households if we're not willing to work. That we bring curses down upon our household, upon our families. Talks about that in Jeremiah, because we're not willing to do the work of the Lord. What was it God told us to do recently? He said, all you've been busy working on your own houses, and you have let my house lay in ruin. Now this is what it says in Jeremiah. It says, you brought curses down upon you because you were unwilling to do the work of the Lord. And that's what we do sometimes. I'm willing to work, but I got to work for me. I got to take care of mine. Sorry, Lord, I'll get to you later. And God says, okay. You can do it that way, but there's a consequence for that. Look at what it says in Proverbs 24. They don't have any notes tonight, so they'll get them up there. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. And you'll have to work with me because I'm in a completely different Bible tonight. Proverbs 24, a very familiar scripture to many of you, one we should probably read often. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. One of the good ways to be in life is to be able to be like this one, who they can see something and apply their heart and learn from it and not have to make their own mistakes. Not having walked by and go, oh, gee, look at that, and then kept going. Sometimes we do this. Work is on purpose. It's an on-purpose expenditure of energy. It's not just an expenditure of energy. That's like an explosion. But it's on purpose. I'm going to work. I'm going to rise. I'm going to do specifically what God has told me to do. Ephesians 4:16. Put that up there, Kimmy. Ephesians 4:16. Scripture says we were created in God to do good works. Not to be good watchers, but we were created to do good works. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, as each part does its work. Some people feel like their job is to be watchers of work, not works. We were called to be watchers on the wall, but those that are being watchmen on the wall are watching for the enemy. They're not watching other people work and how other people are working, or whether they're not working or how they're working. They were to be watching the enemy. And so often what happens is, when we're not willing to work, we automatically default to becoming watchers. In fact, when we're not focused and on purpose with the work that we're supposed to be doing, it's because we're watching something else. Our attention has gotten drifted into a different direction. When it comes to work, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your home, whether it's in church, whether it's in ministry, in any area of your life, when it comes to work, you will see that people will fall into one of two groups, watchers and workers. Watchers and workers. When you tear down, when we set up, when we did the pancake breakfast, when you walk in to do a business meeting, whatever it is, when you walk in and you look around, you're going to see the workers and you're going to see the watchers. Those who walk around and they see what needs to done and they begin to do it. Those that look for work to put their hands to. I'm very drawn toward hardworking people. I like being around people that like to work. It's enjoyable for me because to me work is very purposeful. Whatever it is you're doing, it's purposeful. But then there's always those that are just kind of watching other people work. And typically their watching is about critiquing. Well, you know, if they move those chairs this way, it'd probably work a little better. Not that you're willing to move a chair. Well, you know, if ladies ran this way, it might work a little better. If men's was this way, it might be a little better. If, you know, if we pick those things up differently, it might... They're the, what do they call them, the Monday morning quarterbacks. Monday morning quarterbacks. Whenever there's work to be done, you're going to find yourself and the people around you in one of those two places. I'm caught judging, critiquing, criticizing, micromanaging somebody who's doing the work. Or if I've actually got my eyes on the work that I know I'm supposed to be doing in this moment, and I'm doing that work. Whatever that work may be. I walk past the field of a sluggard. Every single one of us has the opportunity to be a sluggard, and the devil wants you to be a sluggard. He works very hard at lulling us into sluggish states. Lulling us into sluggish states mentally, to where we become dull. In our speech, in our thoughts, in our desire to work, in our desires to do anything. And when he gets us there, he gets us away from purposeful work for the Lord and onto that watching place. We're more of a stumbling block to what's going on around us than we are being a part of that, every part doing its work, whatever my part is, and then in the whole body is coming together and going up and doing what it's supposed to be doing. When we talked about Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You go back and you read that and you see these people. And what are they doing? This is what Nehemiah said. Okay, it's time to work. We all know the walls are down. We all know all this is. Okay, now it's time to work. And each and every one of them got in there and they began to work on their house and the Lord's house at the same time. And they're working and they're working and they're helping their brothers. And they're working and they're working and they're doing all of this work. But then there were some that it says in the book that they were not willing to put their shoulder to the work. And why were they not willing to do that? They became the watchers of what Nehemiah was doing. They watched what he was doing. They had opinions about what he was doing. They judged what and how he was doing it and what and how the other people were doing it. But they in and of themselves were not willing to put their shoulder to that work. They allowed themselves to go into this different role. And sometimes we give ourselves, for whatever reason, the excuse to fall into that other role too. To where I'm no longer focused on the work that I know I'm supposed to be doing today. But now the devil somehow has shifted my gaze and I'm watching. And sometimes we get caught watching other people, so we're no longer working. Sometimes we get caught just watching our own works. And so now I'm not working anymore, but I'm watching my work. And this is usually what it's like when I'm watching my work. Well, has it been worth it? Is it worth it to do it anymore? Well, is it really going to matter? I mean, for a year I did that, or 5 minutes I did that. And as I watch and look back, I don't really see that it mattered. So I don't know that I want to put my shoulder to that kind of work anymore. It was a lot of effort. I'll just kind of watch for a little while and I'll see if it works. And then maybe I might work some more. I'll just watch and I'll see if it works for them. And if it works for them, then I might be willing to work. But if it doesn't work for them, then I realize that I haven't wasted my work because I've just been busy watching. Or you just get caught in the, they're not doing it right, or whatever reason we have, but we get into that place. In Thessalonians 3:13, Scripture says, never tire of doing what is good. Never tire of doing what is good. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good. Watching? We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared us in advance to do. Thessalonians, never tire of doing the good work that you were created in Christ Jesus to do. What makes us want to quit working and start watching? Our heart gets wrong. It's that simple. Our heart just simply gets wrong. It gets off track. In Colossians 3:23, the Bible says that we are to work with all our heart as unto the Lord. Can you pull that one up, Jason? Colossians 3:23. So often we work with part of our heart. Well, I'm just going to start and see how things go. So I'm working, but I'm watching at the same time. So I'm only working with part of my heart. Whatever you do, do it with how much of your heart? All of our heart. As working for the Lord, not for men. I'm doing this for you, Lord. It doesn't matter what men think. It doesn't matter what men do. It doesn't matter how they respond or don't respond. Because I'm not doing this for men. I am working and I'm doing these things with all of my heart for the Lord. This is what Jesus did. He did it all for God. If he'd have watched people and how people responded to him, his heart would have gotten as nasty as ours get. When we start watching people and allow our heart to get affected by how they respond to the work that we're doing, instead of just going, okay, I'm going to work with them all my heart as unto the Lord. What happens is we allow our heart to get filled when we're working sometimes with wrong emotions. We allow our heart to get filled with wrong ideas about work or the work that I'm doing or the work that somebody else isn't doing. Or we allow our heart to get filled with wrong influences. We get around watchers and they influence our work. Or we allow our heart to get filled with wrong motives. I'm working, 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 I'm sacrificing. But somehow along the line, my motives have gotten off kilter, and then my heart begins to get off kilter. I've been reading this magazine. You can tell it's red around water. It's my bathtub reading. Poor magazine's falling apart. But this is a hard worker. This is a very hard worker. I want to read you a few things that it was said of her about work. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Mother Teresa. And this is out of the Time magazine, The Life and Works of a Modern Saint. This is what it was said of Mother Teresa. She didn't have to make speeches. Her life was an indictment of our shallow materialism and the modern culture of death. I'm just going to say, if you've ever been around a really hard worker and you're nothing but a watcher, it will challenge you. It will challenge you. Because you'll begin to feel very slothful and sluggish and bad because you know you should be working, but you're not wanting to work, and you certainly don't want to work as hard as they're working. And so then I have to criticize them and say that what they're doing is bad, so then I don't feel bad about doing that. Just going to say. So her life was an indictment, which is what happens sometimes. Mother Teresa never told anyone, "I'll care for you if you become a Christian." Instead, she offered the same unconditional love as our Savior did by being the hands and feet of Jesus. This petite Albanian Catholic nun became the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. Most people today do not know the difference between a hero and a celebrity. I want you to take hold of this. I want you to take hold of this tonight. Most people don't know the difference between a hero and a celebrity. Celebrities are famous for being famous and typically use the spotlight to promote themselves. The difference between heroes and celebrities lies in the reason for their sacrifice. Celebrities often make sacrifices, but they are made for personal benefit, to win a game, an award, an election. For instance, professional athletes, actors, entertainers may be celebrities, but they are not really heroes. They sacrifice for what they do because they enjoy it, or for the money or fame or personal satisfaction. Heroes, in contrast, sacrifice for the benefit of others. They are self-giving. Mother Teresa is exhibit A of a true hero, a saint. This is what happens sometimes. People get out there and they work. If you know a celebrity, they sacrifice. They work. They work very hard. But it's for personal benefit. And then when the working that I'm doing is not benefiting me in the way I want it to benefit me, then my heart gets wrong. And that's what happens to us when we start working for the Lord. We start working for the Lord. Sometimes it's to benefit me or to make me feel like I'm saved or good or right or noticed or whatever it may be, whatever it is, and I'm working for God, and when I don't get the results that I'm looking for, then my heart begins to get off kilter. And then I kind of step back from my work a little bit, and I'm no longer just focused on my work that I'm doing for God. I'm sort of watching. And then next thing you know, the work goes unattended. And my heart continues to get more and more sideways. Why? Because I'm sacrificing, but I'm sacrificing for wrong motives. I'm working with a wrong heart, or I'm working with a divided heart. And then I end up becoming a watcher. Moses was a watcher. When Moses, I want you to think about this. When Moses was a watcher, he was a murderer. When he was working for the Lord, he was a deliverer. When David was watching, he became an adulterer. When he was working, he was the favored king that could take the rejects of the rejects and cause them to be such a mighty army that Saul couldn't even stand to be around him. When Elijah was a watcher, he was a cave dweller. But when he was working for the Lord, he was calling down fire from heaven like nobody else ever could, slaying prophets of Baal. Jonah, when he was a watcher, he was the biggest whiner we ever read about in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, there's not a bigger whiner in the Bible than Jonah. Why? Because he was watching. And when he finally got tired of the consequences that continued to befall his life because he was a watcher, and he began to work and do what God told him to do, an entire island, nation, whatever you called that back then, all of the people were saved. What happens in your life when you're a watcher? And what happens when you're just doing the work of the Lord? Whenever that may be. Every day there's work to be done. Every day. Do the work that God's put in front of you that day. Don't get caught like that sluggard. Don't get caught being that watcher. Because whenever we get caught watching work rather than working, we end up becoming something God never intended us to become, making decisions that that never needed to be made, neglecting things that he had for us to tend to. But when you will just simply, with all of your heart, work and do the work of the Lord that he's put before you. If you don't know what to do, one of the things that my children never say, even to this day, people that come into my house that have been there any length of time never say this in my house. I'm bored. Really? Let me find you something to do. Grandma used to say, idle's hands are the devil's workshop. And I don't know how true, I don't see that in the Bible, but I see it in life. When we get idle, we become a tool in the enemy's hands. But when we're just busy working, whatever that may be, we stay out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. So, let's put our hands to work and see what the Lord will do. And when you're working, replicate a positive attitude. Replicate. If you find yourself where I'm working and I got a bad attitude, walk into the bathroom, look in the mirror, tell yourself to buck up and put a smile on your face, and get back out there and replicate a positive attitude. If you walk into a situation and you see that there's dishes on the floor, don't walk past them. Pick them up. If you walk into a room and you see somebody struggling with their workload and they don't know what to do, don't go, well, gee, I know what I do. And I mean, if I had that to do, I certainly could do it so much better. How about you come over and you say, hey, brother, can I help you? What are you trying to do here? Well, I'm trying to blah, blah. Well, is there anything I can do? I mean, I don't really know what to do, but if there's something I can do, I could try to do this for you. And let's work together. Every part. Notice that it says, not every part is doing its work by itself, but they're fitly joined together, and every part is doing its work. Amen? Father, I thank you so much that every day you give us work to do for you. I thank you that you have given us good work to do. Now, the work that you have us to do is not purposeless. It's not just to somehow make us into rote little soldiers, but you created us to do good works. So, Father, every day, let us look for opportunity to do the work of the Lord, whatever that may be. May we not be watchers of other workmen or watchers of the works that you're doing, but Lord, let us keep our eyes on what you have called us to do today. And not get caught watching and not tending to the work that you've given us. I ask you to help us every day, Father. Your word says that in our weaknesses, your strength will be perfected. And when we're trying to do work that's hard and we don't really know what to do and it feels overwhelming, Lord, let us not get frustrated and bitter and hard. And let us not just quit and walk away like a two-year-old that takes his game and says, I'm not going to play anymore. I can't tie my shoes, so I just won't wear shoes. Lord, help us to mature. To come to you in our weaknesses and say, Father, help us. To mature enough, to be humble enough, to cast our pride away, to come to our brothers and sisters and say, will you help me? I've never done this before. Will you walk with me? Will you show me? And for those of us, Father, that are strong in certain areas, you tell us to bear with the weak. So let us not criticize, mock, or judge those that don't have the same strengths that we do, Lord, but help us to humble ourselves and come alongside them. and to mentor and to replicate and to help carry loads that maybe are easy for us to carry but hard for them. And together, Father, as we do that, we will build a mighty kingdom for you that makes you smile and brings glory to your name, which, Lord, is why we're here. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.